All right, camperonis, welcome back. Week three. We've made it so far. I have a special program for you guys today. Now, the year 2020 has, for many reasons, been quite extraordinary, but let's focus on a special birthday this year for one of history's most beloved and recognizable composers. That's right. In 1770, Ludwig van Beethoven was born 250 years ago. That's a big milestone to be remembered for 250 years. I think most of you guys forgot my hair color after 2 weeks of camp, which is totally fine. Now, Beethoven, what's so special about the guy? Well, he's widely regarded as one of the greatest composers who ever lived, if not the greatest Western composer. I mean, this guy was so prolific and he wrote so much music. But let me clarify something really quick. So it's most of this is opinion based, right? You can ask whoever you want and they'll usually say a different person is their favorite. Mozart could be the greatest musician of all time, or Chopin could be the greatest piano composer of all time. The Beethoven is widely remembered as the greatest composer, period, of all time. But remember, most of it's all opinion. It's all subjective. The purpose of today is really just give you guys a broader knowledge of who he was, what made him so famous, and why we still remember him a quarter of a millennia later. So let's jump in. Now, like we said earlier, Beethoven was born in 1770 in the German city of Bonn, James Bonn. So you can imagine the world was quite different back then. Believe it or not, people had to physically go see someone if they wanted to have a conversation, and social distancing wasn't really a thing. Beethoven's grandfather was the Kapellmeister, or conductor leader, of the choir of the Archbishop's Elector of the city of Cologne. That's a lot of words to say Beethoven was born into the profession of music. His father was one of the singers in his grandfather's choir, and his grandfather was the conductor of it. Now, unfortunately, things went pretty downhill for old Beethoven as soon as his grandfather died, and that was when Beethoven was 3. By age 11, Beethoven had to leave school because his dad was an alcoholic, and later, by age 18, Beethoven was pretty much the sole breadwinner of the family. Imagine that. Just take a second for a split second. Imagine that. Being the money maker when you're just 18. Now, I'm 23 and I still don't make enough to buy all the Star Wars action figures I want. So for me, that'd be a really big problem. Why are we focusing on that so much? If you think about everything that Beethoven went through and we then take a second to look at all of his accomplishments, he didn't have an easy life. But to go through all of that strife and still come out the famous musician that he did, boy, there's hope for all of us if that's what he could do 250 years ago. Imagine what you can do right now. So let's move on to some of his big notable works. Beethoven's Fifth. Ah, yes, the famed symphony. Debuted in 1808, so Beethoven was 38 at this point. This is one of the most frequently played symphonies in the world, and for good reason. It is one of the most recognizable motifs in the Western world. And quick recap for you youngins out there, a motif is a short, repeated musical idea that composers build off of. Think of the ABC song. Notice all the times it repeats? That's the same motif over and over again. Anyway, back to Beethoven. The famous motif he developed is often referred to as fate knocking on someone's door. So think about that for a quick second. Here's that motif one more time. Picture that. Something knocking on your door. It's frequently remembered as a symphony of power, and many people think it overcomes an intense obstacle or perseverance through a great goal. That's pretty easy to feel. It's a symphony that Beethoven poured much, much of his emotion into. And fun fact, the opening long motif spells out V in Morse code, something quite a few people take to mean victory. Okay, but now when was Morse code invented? It's in the 1830s, so could Beethoven have meant for this to be the case? Probably not. I don't know. Maybe. Now, of course, you can't talk about Beethoven without talking about one of the biggest trials he went through in his life, and that was an early onset of deafness. Beethoven actually first noticed that he was losing his hearing when he was as young as 28, and it persisted until he could no longer hear in the year 1815. He was just 45. Now, if you think of all the senses that we use as musicians, our sense of hearing is probably one of the most important ones. You can still play violin without seeing the notes. You can still play trombone even if you can't move your legs. But if you can't hear, imagine all the things that you can't do. You can't tune, you can't hear if something sounds good when played together. And to Beethoven, he couldn't hear when he played the piano, which was his main form of composition. So it drove him slowly insane. No one knows quite why he went deaf. It could have been from his poor life habits, some form of lead poisoning, which was fairly common back then, or other circumstances that medical health simply couldn't answer 250 years ago. But one thing we do know is that it almost drove Beethoven insane. It was his most prized sense, his sense of hearing. And for him to lose it as a famed composer, it just drove him mad. He often suffered from fits of rage when he just realized he could not hear his own compositions. He even wrote Beethoven's Fifth, the famous motif of fate knocking on someone's door while he was going deaf. And some people attribute his loss of hearing during that time to one of the reasons why he became so famous. But okay, enough about that depressing stuff. Now, Beethoven is also quite famous because he is often regarded as the composer that transitioned us from the classical era, which ended about the year 1800 to 1820, and he transitioned us into the romantic era. And here we're talking about big symphonies, lots of sound, lush orchestras. Richard Wagner was a huge, huge composer this time too. The romantic era, if you think about anything, just a romance. You want big, big emotions sparkling forth and large timpani strikes. Beethoven was a huge component of that. He started out in the late classical era, and by the time he died, he actually really kind of helped transition. He was one of those keystone composers that really moved us over from the rigid, almost mathematical classical composers to the more lush and just big, big sounding symphonies that the Romantic era is really, really well known for. And if you want to know more, go do some home research. You'll find some awesome things. But okay, this takes us to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Now, keep in mind, we have breezed over so much of his individual accomplishments, and there's so many other pieces we can talk about, but just due to the shortness of this lovely podcast here, I'm going to talk about these two big pieces. So Beethoven's Ninth. He wrote this, and he finished composing it when he was completely deaf. So imagine that years of your life, literal decades have gone by, and you are slowly losing your hearing, and then you are commissioned to do perhaps what is the largest work of your life, and you have to do it deaf, completely deaf. What Beethoven does, often referred to as the Ode to Joy, it is what a lot of composers, in fact, Hector Berlioz, which was another very, very famous composer at the time, thought at the culmination of its author's genius. So he's talking about Beethoven there, that this was his most famous work and the best of the best. This was a symphony that had a motif and a melody that was so profound and yet so simple that the majority of people that listened to it took it as sort of a unification of the hope of humanity. And if you think about that, for one piece of work, for one composition to bring together everybody that listens to it, this is one of the biggest reasons why we remember Beethoven. Not because he composed for 20 years after he was losing his hearing, not because of his extreme prolificness, which is how much he composed music, but because his final symphony, the last one he completed before he died, had such an impact on everyone that listened to it And the fact that it still does today, hundreds of years later, that speaks volumes to Beethoven and to Beethoven's compositional genius. So I hope this kind of wraps up for you guys some of the highlights of Beethoven's life. We touched on three of them, okay? There are hundreds more, and there's zillions of more reasons why he's such a famed composer. But this was just kind of meant to give you a breakdown on two of his most famous symphonies and the big reason that he went deaf throughout his life as well. So if you're interested in learning more, do some research. My favorite place to go to learn more about new things is the Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah, I'm not kidding when I say it's a treasure trove of knowledge. You could probably read a different article from there every single day until you retire and still just scratch the surface of what they have available. Now, as always, I'll leave us today with another practice tip for you. Last week, the wonderful Miss Amanda Fenton reminded us the importance of practicing with a metronome. How very true. Today's tidbit comes from Tom Hooton, the wonderful principal trumpet player to the Los Angeles Philharmonic. A big, big world-class symphony there. He says to practice slowly and actually practice. Okay? So he's talking about play each note perfectly, or as close to perfect as you can manage. Really think about and take your time on those etudes. Here's a big one, play those scales. And slowly, too, take each note as though it's your last, okay? So take the full amount of time. Every moment that you spend on your instrument builds muscle memory, and that forms a habit. How great would it be if we only had perfect muscle memory to draw on when we play? Imagine how great of a player you would be in just 1 year. Okay, Camperonis, that's all I have for you today. Join me next week. We're going to do another interview, and I will see you soon. Thanks, gang.